Do you want me to do the intro?
Oh, everybody.
That's a good place to start.
No, you talk. No, you hang up. This is the kind of stuff we get up to on the Ultra Pod, folks. This kind of shenanigans. They're not as serious on the main, but, you know, the sponsors, when they come, they want kind of serious stuff. So we're trying to be serious before the sponsors come. Yeah, we're going to play, 20-odd minutes of the Ultra episode. Just to give you a taste, just a taste of it. If you want to sign up, get the full episodes. The link's in the description of the episodes. 450 a month. Become an Ultra today. We've got that over there. Without any further ado, I suppose, let's just get right into it.
Yeah, play. Go. Take it away, us.
Honestly, that is nonsense. Nonsense. All nonsense.
It's embarrassing. It's a disgrace.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful at all already. Okay.
I enjoy every day of it. We're giving our supporters some joy and some belief and some hope.
Do you know that there's no law? There's no one's going to die!
Yeah, bin it, mate. Just bin the whole idea. Just forget about it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a no-nonsense podcast. Rumors of the Champions League demise have been greatly exaggerated by us.
Yeah. Is this the worst Champions League ever? We asked on the last Patreon episode.
Since last year, for sure.
We're like goldfish, I think, is the issue. It's just like whatever the last game we saw, that's the whole Champions League.
Some might say no ball knowledge. There's another way to put it. No history of ball knowledge anyways, because maybe it's always been like this, you know, because we saw the draw there today for the Champions League, and everyone's like, oh yeah, this is proper stuff.
Now we're talking, yeah.
Which maybe it's always been like that. Maybe it's always just been the last 16 knockout round, to get rid of the losers from the lower league, you know, the Portuguese league, the Turkish league, get them out of here, and now we can get down to, you know, the top five league. I mean, essentially, the Super League knockout stages. That's what we're looking at right now.
It must hurt to be like a Porto fan seeing that. Imagine seeing that online of like, oh my God, Porto in the knockout stage. Can it get any worse?
Yeah. Well, that's the funniest thing about the Porto stage. And I did kind of call this, that everyone was saying, oh yeah, this will just be another one of the teams that we thought might make upset, but they won't. Now, I thought they were much better this time against Arsenal in the Emirates. I tell you, that video of Bender scoring a hat-trick.
Cotton crawl, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we can't go out this. We can't go out with them, like, you know, putting Bender comps on Instagram. And they'll be like this again, lads, watch. They came, and honestly, I think the best way to describe it for someone who didn't see it is like a team of Luis Diaz.
Yeah. Run, kick, attack.
Not always the most composure in front of goal.
No.
Of a plan. But I mean, so much pace, so much energy. And I think on RT commentary, they said they can't keep the pace up forever the whole game. And usually when they say that, they do. It's when they don't say that and they let it go in the 60 minutes, they go, well, they couldn't keep this pace up forever. It's, if you say it beforehand, that jinxes it. This is proven. That's not even a proven thing. And they said it beforehand and they ran the whole game. Like I say, it wasn't always the most thought out. But I think the biggest factor for Porto's competitiveness in this game. I did lose 1-0, but I don't want to sound condescending, but I really do think they were excellent in this game. I thought they were really, really good. The ref of the game, the referee, played by his own rules, you know, no one else's, and sometimes will, not even his own. There's some very soft fouls that he didn't give. And then there was some other soft fouls that, depending on the context, he did. He said, well, he shouldn't have done that there. You know, I think there's one where a player was pushed over, like, you know, not really pushed over, and then he kind of grabbed out where he was on the ground. Equally as much contact. I was like, well, you can't be doing that now because you get the free, you know? And it was like very inconsistent.
Kind Don't of be petty.
Yeah, kind of like penalty against pettiness. There's a lot of cynical fouling and stuff that stops Arsenal in the break.
And not many cards for it.
Not many cards for it. Like, and it was kind of consistent as well. It wasn't like the same players. It was different players who were kind of like systematically pulling players down on the break, lots of push, lots of shoving. You'd almost say he lost control of the game, but I think this is exactly what he wanted. You know, I think it was by design, like he's lost control of this. Like, you know, I think he's pretty happy with where things are, to be honest.
yeah, it's back and forth, and there's lots of running, and there's lots of tackles flying in. He's not worried about the... Again, he's not going by letter of the law here. He's heard the complaints about the Champions League. He said, do you want an exciting game? I'll give you one. They can do whatever they like.
And it was exciting. Honestly, I think that is the greatest leveler, is the physicality. Like, if someone's better than you, like, and you just go toe-to-toe, it's like a boxer. You know, you box clever. You don't go toe-to-toe with someone like Mike Tyson. You try and tire him out. You try and win on points. Because, like, you're not going to, like, out-slug him. You know,
yeah.
So you go toe-to-toe with Arsenal and go, you have a go, we have a go, like, they'll beat you. So, like, if you look at that, as a good manager would look at, you would say, well, you know, we'll try and slow them now. We'll try and not let them get the ball to their attacking players. It was just like, yeah, that was a great performance by them. And that's what you expect. But I think that's gone out of the game largely. And better teams are allowed to kind of steamroll teams. Because, like, I think even for the goal that Odegaard scored, he had some unbelievable feet there, kind of dancing on two players and put the ball in. And he was kind of slightly kicked afterwards. So he touched after the pass was played. Usually that'd be brought back for your card. You conceded a goal. Now your like defender is on it.
Yeah.
Like that's like the start, the beginning of the end then. They go on, they win two and three, but there was no card. They kind of got right back at it. Probably had three more fouls before the game, the half was over. And it was like, they were still at it. Do you know, I think it was interesting in terms of the gap between teams that we're talking about. Like maybe that's the biggest thing that's got to get out of the game.
Yeah, you're kind of... the system, like the Man City systems and stuff, they're encouraged to tap a, win the free, you know, like, don't worry, if they try stop you, we'll slow it down to the millisecond and find if they did something wrong and give you that chance or the goal that they took away from you.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw, there's a while ago there where they had like, I don't know who put it up, it was another compilation of Haaland knocking players off the ball.
That is real hater material.
Who was that he scored the goal recently? It wasn't in the Premier League. Remember, he was going at goal and someone kind of came in to tackle him. I think it might have been Collins actually for Brentford. And he knocked him during that one. And they did like compilation of him doing that for Dortmund in the German League and in the Golden Hampshire City. But like, you see those times, the person isn't coming to absolutely mince him. They're coming to like hit the ball away. And he kind of like... maybe stand, like almost half trip someone and use his body out of the way. Because before, it's like, you know, he'd be going into like...
mince him.
Absolutely mince him, or like, you know, come in and shoulder charge with real force, you know. But like, you know, that's like, okay, it's one-on-one here. That's last one back. He's going down. He's going to get the benefit of the doubt here, not me. So it's like, even some like Haaland, who isn't, you'd say, like a speedy, kind of tricky player. It is the attack for the attacker's benefit. You know what I mean? And even when De Bruyne is playing that ball, there's no one kind of getting too close to him in case you stand on his toe or something afterwards, because then it's a free and yellow card for you. And it's like, you know, it does suit the attacking play, I suppose, which I don't know if you'd argue that's a bad thing or not, but I do think it widens the gap when there's kind of no financial controls over how much teams can spend and how many players they can accumulate. So I don't know, it's interesting. I don't wonder how you think of this. Would you rather be more attacking and have maybe a bit more career-ending tackles every now and again? Or are you just be, you know, kind of Super League, everything but name?
Well, it's funny because I think I've talked about this before in the podcast, where anytime I watch like a League of Ireland game, it is like watching a game from the 90s. And it's genuinely so refreshing of just how, like, again, the games aren't out of control or anything, but it's so much more hard-hitting. But everyone kind of just gets on with it. Like there's so much less like play into the referee, I think. Obviously it's still there, but it's not to the level that it is in the Premier League or like the big European games. It's nice to see football where people just kind of, yeah, you hurt him, you hit him a bit hard there, but he'll get up and he'll do it back to you and it's grand.
Yeah.
It's all just like, it's all about the entertainment. Again, that's the whole point. Whereas I feel like that's kind of been stamped away in place of rules over the last few years.
Yeah, I think it's maybe they think what entertainment is fast players scoring goals, which I think it is.
Yeah.
But it's like,
but it's no fun when you can't touch them.
Yeah, it just makes less. Like if it's, those goals are great when you know that they're getting tackled and they're, you know, they've been in hell all game, and then you know, in the last kick of the game they go past three players and score an unbelievable goal. I know we saw Kudos' goal for West Ham, where he literally went by three players, picked up the ball at all half, went by three players, put in the net, and then did the most obnoxious celebration I've seen in a long, long time.
Yeah.
Or as people are calling it, like the coldest celebration. It's like, oh man, like he scored a goal after that, Will. He should have like taken off his own protection at points. But instead he was like in him was 5-0 and Freiburg were like just, you know, mentally broken. But like, and again, it's you feel like you're on the borderline here of encouraging violence here, but inciting violence on the football pitch, feel like he should be kicked off the pitch for that kind of behavior. You know, it's a really attacking score and play. But at the same stage, you see him walk by these players and then they're not trying to tackle, they're trying to get man and ball. They're trying to tip the ball away as he's run full tilt because you don't want to give him a foul away because that's even worse than, you know, not tackle them.
Or desperately sprint backwards with both hands as far behind their back as they can be.
Yeah, you know.
I hope he doesn't go around me because I can't touch him.
Yeah, and it's funny because like people with like, especially former pros, like the art of defending is dead kind of thing, as if it's on the players who don't want to defend anymore. They're all gone soft. You know, it's like, well, like look at the rules. Like look at what's encouraged. And it's like, it's not tackling or last ditch defending. It's letting people walk through or score goals. And you know, that's kind of what's encouraged. But no, I honestly thought it was great what Porto did in that game. Because it does, it just makes it more entertaining. Even for, you know, the neutral, I think people might say there wasn't many goals and there wasn't a lot of quality, but you want to see a game that's close. You want to see something, you know, on the lobby.
Yeah.
And it's not like there was at the Bayern game last week, was over half time. So they were going to the game 1-0. Because, like, well, they're not going to beat them. You know, they got 2 goals and that's it. So, like, this was great. They did their homework well. They well marshaled Saka a little bit, Will.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it, right? And because this is kind of ties in with what we're saying about the old days, and he gets a lot of abuse for, you know, not being a baller, kind of not being like, people think Foden is just a better player because he kind of moves in different ways, you know, like Saka, what he does, he can go like inside or outside, he'll do like, he'll come to his left, or he'll do that thing where he drags the ball behind him with the left and he'll get it back around his right, and it's like, it's very predictable, there's nothing very unexpected, but it's extremely effective and he's really quick and got great ball control. And like, even something like Robin did a lot more, like he was, you know, he knew what he was going to do. But he did kind of stuff that wasn't kind of practiced. Do you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't,
yeah.
Like, I'm thinking of that goal he scored against my nut in the corner. Like, that was just like, okay, yeah, okay, well, it was left foot. But I mean, that was crazy. Like, to think that was going to work. You know, you floated it from the corner, I'll kick it from like outside the box in the goal. Like, you know, no chance. Yeah,
We talked about that loads, where that's the type of thing where if he did that under Pep now, he'd be subbed 5 minutes later, even if he scored. Because it's like, that's not what we're doing around here. That doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, because the probability of it is that someone would get out to that, or he'd slice it and go nowhere. Like, we have 3 6-foot-4 people in the box. Why would you do that, you know?
We had 94% possession for the last 5 minutes before you did that. Now they have the ball.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking of that goal he scored against Dortmund in the Champions League final, where he like kind of went in and out through three people. Like, what was he doing in the middle of the pitch, you know? Like, it's just someone like Saka was doing that. He was very effective. He was getting the ball across, but there was never anyone in there to finish it. And then there was kind of people think he kind of went out of the game a bit, because like, it's, you know, there's nothing unexpected. It's like, it's down the left, down the right. If that's not working, it's like, I don't know if he's been encouraged to do anything else. I don't think if he's, and again, not that he's not as good as previous players, or that he's not as effective in most games. You can look at his numbers and say, well, look, it's working. So,
yeah.
I just look at it, I kind of thought, this is why, you know, the market is so good for nostalgia merchants right now. Because you look at this and it's, it's not exciting. You know, he's running fast, he's great ball control, but it's not like, it's, you know what he's going to do. And the probability it'll result in a goal, but if it doesn't, it's like, well, that was kind of, you know, crazy to watch.
yeah, it's because if you stop the system, then it's not like there's no way Arteta's like, lads, if it's a 70th minute and hasn't worked, just start trying stuff. Whereas I'd say back in the day, it's like, you know, get it to Ronaldinho, let him do whatever he feels like.
Yeah. Well, I think this is what Eto's issue was at Barcelona when he, you know, because he'd been playing since like 2005, and then by 2009, Pep was like, I want you to go here, you go there, you go here. And it's like, well, you know, where's my free time to kind of, you know, for the winner? And Pep's like, that's not how we do it here, you know. So it's, it changed in that time, and we're kind of seeing it now where you don't see players encouraged to do it. And you see players who grew up in that system, like Saka, where it's like, you know, at what age was he encouraged to do bicycle kicks or like take shots on a volley from the corner. I mean, when it's also like a shot from the, like, yeah, you just wouldn't see it. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting to see because he did kind of go out of the game a little bit in the end. He brought his use about 70, 80 minutes. He nearly scored, but they couldn't break it down. And then it goes to the penalties. And
The first penalties in the Champions League since 2016, which I thought was mad.
Really?
Yeah, it's since is it 2016 Madrid won it on penalties?
Against Atletico, yeah.
Apparently it's the first penalty shootout in that long, which I thought that's crazy.
In the whole competition?
In the whole competition, apparently, yeah. In the knockout stages, which when it's the only time it would be. So, yeah, apparently so.
Well, do you know what it is? Away goals often make it possible to
become
a draw.
That's true, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that actually, it's probably the first penalty shootout ever in the history of the Champions League knockout stage.
Well, no.
Unless there was 2-0-0.
Well, there was 2-1-1s or 2-score draws, yeah. Or, you know, something like that. But, yeah, the away goal definitely made it trickier to do that. But, yeah, I definitely, if there's penalties in front of the neutral, it's always, like, exciting to see. But
oh, yeah.
It's the least heartbreaking way to go into a round to go out in on penalties because it's, you know, the last 16. You still got, you know, if you in the semi-finals from when you miss the penalty, yeah. It's like, oh, that could be in our year, you know. We're like, last 16, you never know. You were going to draw one, we could have got one. Say the next round, we don't know. But yeah, it definitely made for a good finish to the game. David Raya, man of the match, the hero.
Yes, he gave a great interview after the game where he said literally the exact opposite of what Ramsdale said right before he was gone.
You get drained after games being a goalkeeper. Maybe not leg-wise, but mentally you have to be so focused and since the first minute until the last minute. You cannot switch off for 1 second. You know, you see sometimes players that they can switch off for a few minutes because they're not involved, but keepers, you never know when you're going to be involved, so you have to switch on and
concentrate on a game of football for 90 minutes. I'm finished, I can't do it. So that's why I get involved with the fans and I'll sing along with the songs and someone's giving me abuse, I'll turn around and I'll give them a bit back.
Yeah.
I've had me 2-3 minutes of sort of madness in my head, straight back to the football.
Yeah. Okay.
I've got 10-15 minutes of pure concentration again.
I don't know. I don't know what is... I mean, what can you do? You sit there, because at the end of the day, you're either going to be a team player for Arsenal and play the cup competitions and accept that as your role, or you're going to want to leave at the end of the year. So if people see a sulk in all, you're like, well, this guy's got a bad attitude. And that for a fact, you know, I don't know them, but I know one thing, you know, bad attitude, he's not a team player. So either way, if you're thinking I'm going to stay here and then fight my place, or I'm going to get a move out of here, you have to be positive about the situation. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of talk of like, oh, he's pretending to be happy. It's like, well, wouldn't you? What other choice do you have?
Yeah.
Or he's happy. It doesn't matter, really.
Yeah, it's exactly. It doesn't matter. And it is also, like, it's not like he's fucking injured or anything. And it's not like Raya pick up a fucking red card from flying out at someone in the semi-final and they need another keeper in the final or anything like that, you know? So he's like, yeah, I'm sure he is buzzing to get to the next stage of the Champions League. He might play it.
Look at Kevin Keller, you know, he could have been thinking, well, I'm never exactly, yeah. Injury comes, and now he's going to go to probably one of the biggest clubs in the world, Real Madrid, next year, you know?
Yeah.
It's probably already got... I think while I think linking up to Celtic, I was like, no! Don't do that! Jesus! You're better than that, Kevin. But that said, a year at Celtic, the first team would probably be the best thing for him, to be honest, because people do probably want to see him as a first team all the time, you know? But anyway... Tough way for Porto to go out. I don't know if you saw this weird thing that happened on X again. There was a video of the Porto manager in the dressing room dancing with a cigar, going around, I guess, from whoever posted it, an Arsenal fan, I'd imagine, saying this was him after the first leg. And I remember thinking, like, whoa, that's mad. Is that, like, that's surely way too over the top for that. It turns out that video was from them winning the league last year. Was it? Of course it was. When I think about it, I'm like, yeah, well, oh, yeah, of course he wasn't smoking cigars and covered in champagne after they beat Arsenal. Oh, like, no way would they do that. Like, they might be like lower in quality, but they're still a kind of a championship winning club. They don't do that kind of, you know, celebrating beforehand kind of thing. But I'm thinking, why would you do this? Why would you post this after they've been knocked out to show, look, they thought they had it won kind of thing? And it just it dawned on me again. Like, that's what X is now. It's just engagement. It's just like spread.
Where,
like, usually this kind of fake videos would be saved for like whipping a mob up and into a frenzy. You know, now it's just to make X money. It's just like, look, it's all after this guy. They thought that it won.
Well, to peel back the curtain a bit, because there was a period there a few months ago where we gave Twitter a really good go, because it seemed like that's just where football talk happens. And we got a few tweets that did really well, but I've noticed whenever I was doing that, how it works is the way football Twitter works is Sky Sports will post anything at all, and immediately there's 200 replies of people trying to be funny. And so it's so desperate. And it's like, I just have to be the top one. As long as I'm first, I'll be the top reply, and that's all I need. So it's like a mental game.
Yeah, there's a lot of people complaining. Like, I remember when the comments used to be about the post, you know, because people trying to get you away from their post onto their, like, it's just trying to get highs, you know, because it's their effort. But yeah, no, it's just a strange kind of thing where you can't believe literally anything you see on the internet without like doing your own research. And it's just, you know.
Did you see the other incident involving the Porto manager, where apparently Arteta said something particularly, according to the Porto manager, Arteta said something particularly nasty about the Porto manager's mother, and he went up to him after the game and informed Arteta. He didn't say this outright, but he implied that he went up to Arteta, gone to his ear and said, hey, my man's dead, by the way, just so you know. So that was extra bad, what you said to me earlier.
Yeah, or something that Arteta denies, which, I mean, I think I would too if I found that out. I never said that. I never.
No, that's not what I meant.
I would never say anything like that about someone's mother. Dead or alive, I would never, particularly dead, or alive.
It's the ultimate, like, Trump card to pull out of, like,
oh yeah,
I'll show him.
Primary school classic. Something for your mom. My mom's dead, actually. No. I don't know, maybe she said. Maybe Arteta did say something. Maybe it was lost in translation. I'm assuming it's Portuguese. Arteta's obviously Spanish. So you never know. It could be, some words mean different things in different languages, you know, the same word, that is, you know. We'll never know for sure. It's a side of two stories. There's three stories. His story, Arteta's story, and the truth, Will. And
yeah. And the fourth story, the lies on X.
The lies on X and pictures of the manager celebrating the dressing room. Return picture. Maybe that's what it was about. He deserved it. He was celebrating too early. So maybe his mom is at fault here somehow.
Yeah, he's just like, I saw you smoking that cigar. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. It's like, do you kiss your mother with that smoky mouth? It's like, what? My mother's dead. Ah, shy.
What smoke?
Both the last leg. Well, there you go. There you go. Champions League is back. Good to see. Good to hear. So excited for the next round, Will.
Yeah. It's funny, like, hearing things like that. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes if I ever listen back to the podcast, especially if I just randomly, like, if an old one might autoplay on Spotify or something. Sure. And just be like, oh, I clearly was in a bad mood that week.
Well, I noticed the most that I say words are weird sometimes. I think in the last episode, I heard myself saying opinion. Out of the harsh opinion. An opinion is not the word.
Because most podcasts would go, pause it there. I actually said opinion. Can I say that again?
They have like some producer that they don't pay, and they'd like, oh, it's the waves are off or something, you know, and like, okay, well, let's do it again, you know. But I mean, we just, you know, amateurs like that do more than one take. We do one take through, and then we cut out what we don't need, and the rest is there for you. $4.50 a month, sign up, and you'll hear all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah. Champions League is back.
We'll be back to the Champions League next week after some FA Cup and Premier League, and international break up as well, you know, and so we'll be covering all that stuff from an Irish perspective and everyone else's. So, we'll see you Monday. And maybe if you want to, you can sign up and we'll see you right now over on Patreon.com.
Godspeed.